This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
Hanging on the phone, he was listening to Fade to Grey. I hope you enjoyed it. I am talking about Ben Opie, who is co-artistic director, get this, great name for an ensemble, Inventi. Are you there, Ben?
Yes, I am. Lovely to be here. Thanks.
Our pleasure. Now, we'll get to Inventi Ensemble a little bit later because the name alone, I think, is just fantastic. Obviously, I'm not going to maybe guess what it means to you. Sure. So, Ben, tell us, who are you? You're like, what's your background? When did you become interested in music?
It's a good question. I think I've always been interested in music since a very, very young age. My mum was a junior primary music teacher, and so I think every step of the way, singing and playing and learning the piano, learning the recorder, all of that was kind of, I was immersed in all of that growing up. And then it felt like a pretty natural progression for me. I guess the creativity was in me as well, and so I think it was a matter of deciding to find an outlet for that. And eventually, the oboe came my way, which felt like the perfect blend of a challenging instrument, but also something that I was able to express myself on.
So where did it come along? Yeah, like when was that moment that you thought oboe? Yep, gotta have it. You mentioned about the challenge of it.
It was the beginning of high school. I was lucky enough to go to a special interest music high school in South Australia.
Right.
And so it was right at the beginning of high school. We all got put in a room and they kind of were going through each one of the instruments saying, do you want to play X? Do you want to play Y? And actually when it got to clarinet, I said, yep, I'll play a clarinet because my uncle had one and it sort of felt like the right thing. And then a couple of instruments later, they said, and who wants to play the oboe? And my hand shot up and I said, nope, I've changed my mind. I'm playing the oboe and I haven't looked back.
Oh, good. Was it hard to master? Because it's quite an unusual looking instrument and very ancient. I'm sure you know. How old is it?
Look, it goes back quite a way. It goes back all the way back to Shawms, Indian and Asian instruments that have these double reeds in them. Sometimes they were fully metal instruments that have the double reed at the top, and then slowly but surely it's evolved kind of in the 1600s or so. It turned into something that looks a little bit more like what we know today, but with fewer keys. And then it was only in kind of the 1800s that it turned into what we know the instrument to be now. But it's been around a really, really long time. It's one of those nice ancient instruments.
Yeah. And how, because a lot of musicians, especially violins, they're usually quite old instruments. Have you got an older one, or did you buy it new?
I bought it new. With oboes, because we're constantly blowing our hot air into the instrument, unfortunately, they actually depreciate rather than appreciate.
Okay.
So it's not one of those nice things. We get the privilege of having a shiny new instrument that feels beautiful, and if you look after it well, you can have it for maybe 4 to 6 years.
That's short a life. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, how many have you gone through?
Oh, gosh. it's a good question. Maybe... probably more like 7 or 8 now.
Okay, and have you kept them all, or do you just throw them out?
No, definitely don't throw them away. It's nice to send them on to perhaps a student who's ready for an upgrade, or
excellent,
or if there's an instrument lover who just needs an instrument that functions quite well, but maybe not at the capability that I needed.
Yeah, exactly. So you mentioned Adelaide, that you went to school in Adelaide. I'm originally from Adelaide. What brought you to Melbourne? It's pretty obvious reasons in a lot of ways.
Yeah, well, it's a great city to be in. I've actually lived, I think, in almost all of the capital cities in Australia at some point or another. I think it's a bit of a musician's life sometimes.
Yes.
Especially for me, when I was pursuing an orchestral career, a lot of my work would come from long-term contracts in Perth and Sydney and Adelaide and here in Melbourne. And before that actually, I was over in Germany for a few years, and after that went to San Francisco to do my master's.
Oh, brilliant.
And then it was after that that, I guess, after visiting all of those different cities and then landing in Melbourne, it sort of felt like the right fit for me with this beautiful, diverse culture that we have here with lots of opportunity and lots of room for music making, which I think was very appealing and is still very appealing for me.
Okay, now tell me, come on, where did the name come from and what's it all about, Inventi yeah. Ensemble? the name is just awesome, I love it.
Thank you, yeah. I mean, it's a bit of a multifaceted thing. Inventi, when we were thinking about it, my colleague Melissa and I, we were talking about the fact that what we want to do is invent new things.
Brilliant.
We want to reinvent old things.
Yep.
There is something in there about venti being something to do with wind instruments, but that's kind of behind a little while ago.
Okay.
But it is just all about this inventiveness and creativity, and we were trying to think, you know, let's keep it relatively simple and just go with inventive that kind of has a multiple connotations of, being as innovative as we can be with our music making.
And the other interesting thing would be when somebody looks at it in writing for the first time, they think, it doesn't make sense, this word, inventi. You're like,
exactly.
Do people stumble over it a lot?
Yeah, they do, which I kind of, I don't enjoy it, but I don't mind it. I mean, it gives them a bit of a chance to have a bit of a think about it and maybe ponder what its meaning is and why we came up with it before coming to us and asking what it's about
yeah.
as well.
Now, tell me, who's in this ensemble and how long have you been around?
The ensemble's been around for about 6 years. It was founded by myself and Melissa Dakey, who's a flute player.
Yep.
And in terms of who's in it, we range from up to like a 20-piece chamber orchestra
right.
all the way down to just the two of us. But actually what we've kind of landed on and the two new albums that we've created kind of center around a quintet, which is flute, oboe, violin, viola, and cello,
right.
which has a beautiful feel to it because you get the wind sound of the two wind instruments, obviously, but also that kind of orchestral feel with winds and strings together.
Oh, nice!
And
yeah,
we've become quite renowned these days for being an ensemble that takes large-scale orchestral works and reducing them to this five-player ensemble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Ben, are you, you know, like, is there a much opportunity? Well, obviously not in the last 6 to 8 months, but has there been lots of opportunities for your ensemble?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a combo of the fact that we are, again, incredibly innovative and ambitious. And so we do put ourselves out there a lot. We love doing gigs in as many different places as possible. I remember one for Melbourne Music Week a few years ago. We got put in the back of a 3-ton truck and they reversed the truck into one of Melbourne's alleyways and they opened the back door and then there we were playing Bach's Art of View.
Brilliant.
From the back of a truck.
Brilliant.
And then, you know, on top of that, we play at the Melbourne Recital Centre in the Salon and at Hawthorne Arts Centre and we go out to do regional touring as well. So
yeah.
I guess, like I say, a combination of us finding the opportunities that we want to work towards and, yeah, the opportunities have come our way quite a lot as well. We do a lot of festivals and other performances around the place, which has been great.
And do you play in orchestras still or have you given that away for this?
I still do, and actually all of our players do
yep.
at times. I mean, to be honest, it ends up being a timing thing, and these days the work that we're doing is so regular with Inventi. We're doing sort of upwards of 40 concerts a year.
Wow.
And so that just means that we sometimes, you know, they might ask us to come and play in the orchestra, but it's a little bit too late notice to fit to the rest of the schedule. I do love playing in orchestra when I can. It's just, timing thing sometimes.
Okay. Now, in lockdown, you're like a typical musician. You just can't sit still. And why would you? Because, you are an Inventi musician. What have you done?
At the beginning of the first lockdown, we took a moment. We decided we're not going to rush into anything. Let's just take a breather. A whole bunch of everything got cancelled as happened for everybody. But we did just have a little moment where we thought, let's just not scramble. We don't need to scramble. Let's just have a think about take this time to think about what we want to do and how we want to move forward. And one of the big priorities, I guess the things that we like to focus on are making music as accessible to people as possible. So we do a lot of community outreach, playing in aged care centres, doing kids' lovely incursions, and making sure that these music workshops are interactive. We also have a strong passion for commissioning new music by Australian composers. And then, again, I guess it comes into that realm of the accessibility, but what I was saying before about this reinvention of works, like recently we played an arrangement of Holst's Planet Suite, which is this epic suite.
I love it.
For five players. Yeah.
What did you do? So the whole thing you did?
We did the whole thing, and we commissioned a couple of new pieces as well as partner pieces. New planets, we like to call them.
Oh, no, that's fun. Yeah. New planets.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
So yeah, I guess in the mix of all of that, as we were moving forward, we were thinking, what can we do now? And so together with the Melbourne Recital Centre, we started streaming performances from home. So our individual musicians were streaming concerts into aged care facilities, which was a really special project to work on, because the response from the residents in aged care was quite exciting. They couldn't stop talking about how important it was that it was a live performance and that we were talking to them and asking for their opinions. And so that was a really special project to work on and to continue to work on at the moment, because while we're, you know, slowly easing from the lockdown, a lot of those residents are still, you know, in relatively more restricted
absolutely
circumstances.
Yeah, and very scary for them as well through the whole pandemic. Yes,
that's right.
You weren't satisfied, Ben. I'm getting the pattern here, that you weren't satisfied with one album, so you recorded two albums.
That's right. And it was, again, with these two focuses on working towards an album of new music, new Australian music by female composers, both of them based in Melbourne, and then another album of our Peer Gynt arrangement by Glyn Davies, who's a Melbourne-based composer. Yep. We actually got the amazing Ed Ayres to narrate, or I guess do the storytelling for Peer Gynt as well. So, again, it's this new way of listening to quite familiar music, but in regards to the Peer Gynt album, but also then that drive and passion that we have for new music, and particularly by these two phenomenal women based in Melbourne who have created, I just can't recommend it enough. We're so passionate about it. And this music is so invigorating. It was so invigorating to play. And what I keep on thinking on of after listening and kind of being immersed in this music, doing the editing process and the recording process for the last few months, I can hear this dedication and passion. And I guess the zeitgeist, you know, the time in which we recorded it, which sort of had this extra level of energy attached to it, because we didn't know what was happening. We did push really hard to make sure that we could do these recordings. And so there was that little element as well of, you know, we've got to do it. We've got to make this work. We love it. And it's just all going into this album. Mm. I think you can hear that in the tracks, which is exciting.
Well, how can we get hold of it? Is there hard copies or is it...
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. So the easiest thing to do is go to our website. So InventiEnsemble.com is our website. That's the best place to find them. The links should be fairly straightforward to purchase the albums. They're also going to be in the Readings bookstore in the near future.
Yep.
Yeah. So if you need to...
Right.
Source it from there as well.
And what about on Spotify and places like that?
Bandcamp at the moment is the place to get the digital downloads. That's the only place at the moment. We're not on Spotify at the moment.
Well, Ben, because I'm alone here in the studio right now, and once the studio opens up and we have our guests live in the studio with us, I'd love you to come in with... 2, 3, 5, 100 and perform live for us to air, which would be fantastic. All right, brilliant.
Absolutely.
Ben, thank you so much. What's the website again for people to go to?
Yeah, it's InventiEnsemble.com.
Brilliant. Thanks, Ben, and all the best.
Pleasure.
Okay.
You too. Thanks.
You're on Joy 94.9. What?
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.